Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The U.S. has directed $70 billion to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security for Border Patrol and U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This ramp-up in spending ensures that the agency will continue its trend of increased detentions and deportations. But what about the nonprofits that are serving those individuals who are being subject to detention and deportation? Many of these organizations have had contracts canceled with the federal government to provide legal aid to children, or have been accused of smuggling immigrants or encouraging illegal immigration through the legal and humanitarian services they provide. The California-based Latino Community Foundation has granted $350,000 to 10 organizations in the Southwest to support them with legal defense, community protection, and rapid response to the often unpredictable nature of immigration enforcement. We're talking today with the CEO of the Latino Community Foundation, Julian Castro. Castro is a former San Antonio mayor and was the secretary of the Department of Housing and Urban Development under President Obama. He's also the twin brother of Democratic Texas Congressman Joaquin Castro. Julian Castro explains the expanding outreach of the LCF beyond California.
The Latino Community Foundation is the nation's largest Latino and Latina serving foundation in the United States, with a mission to unleash the civic and economic power of Latinos. And it started in 1989 in the Bay Area, in part because there was this recognition that so few mainstream philanthropic dollars were getting to the Latino community, supporting the excellent work of nonprofits that were serving the Latino community. Over the years, the Latino Community Foundation grew into a statewide California foundation, and it's been doing work supporting nonprofits in the state of California, from CDFIs to immigrant-serving nonprofits to organizations that are trying to increase voting by Latinos and Latinas throughout California. Earlier this year, in 2026, we released a strategic plan that called for doubling down on our work in California, going deeper there, but also becoming the first ever national Latino community foundation over the next decade, starting with making investments in the southwestern states, including in Texas. We believe that this is urgent because the Latino community, of course, has grown everywhere, from California all the way to Maine. About 55% of Latinos live in one of those southwestern states: California, Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, and Texas. Because of that, we feel like this is a high priority area, and we're proud to begin supporting organizations doing great work in the state.
Well, I'm curious to know if whether that potential for growth and outreach is what drew you to the Latino Community Foundation, because, you know, you started in San Antonio, your life of public service, San Antonio mayor. You were later appointed as a housing secretary under President Obama, and you were also a Democratic presidential candidate. What was it that drew you to this particular foundation with a view towards the future?
I love the mission of the Latino Community Foundation. It's something that resonates with me. I grew up, of course, with a mom that was a Chicana activist and a hellraiser, and somebody that really imparted to my brother Joaquin and me this sense that you should do something not only to better yourself, but also to help improve the lives of people in your community. And I see this work very much as helping to do that. I also believe that there's a need for this, not only in California, but throughout the country. I saw that growing up in Texas, still living in Texas. And What I want is for one day, wherever there's a great community organizer or nonprofit leader serving the Latino community, and they're thinking about how to scale up their work, the first foundation that they think about is the Latino Community Foundation. We aim to have the back of the Latino Community Foundation and support excellent nonprofit work, especially in civic engagement and economic justice and opportunity.
Well, you know, historically, violence against immigrant communities, especially here in the Southwest, even before the Rio Grande officially became the boundary between the U.S. and Mexico, there, again, has always been that violence. And every generation or even every administration, we see sort of a different take on how the country decides to deal with the constant immigration, which is happening all over the world because people are looking for something better for themselves and for their families. And right now, under the Trump administration, we are seeing mass deportations, the continuation of child separation. And I know that spurred the Latino Community Foundation to create a grant program to help a lot of these nonprofits you were just mentioning, to help them to try to perhaps better deal with contracts that were ending or other grant programs that were being closed to them because of the strictness of the current administration's crackdown on immigration enforcement. Julian, could you tell us a little bit about the background of this grant program that the Latino Community Foundation created for these nonprofits?
We're living through this national crisis of cruelty perpetuated by a federal government that is determined to pick on, to bully, to persecute some of the most vulnerable people in our nation's population, our immigrant communities. So we launched the Community Protection Fund earlier this year to support organizations that were doing two basic things: providing assistance to families caught up in this ICE dragnet, legal assistance, rental assistance, other direct assistance, mental health counseling, all of those things to help support them. And then secondly, organizations doing ICE accountability work to hold the government accountable to the Constitution and to make sure that in those instances where the government steps out of line and violates people's rights, that there's the wherewithal to help chronicle that, to help pursue justice, and ultimately to change the system for the better so that people are treated with dignity, with respect, and in line with the Constitution.
Julian Castro is CEO of the Latino Community Foundation. The Latino Community Foundation has established the Community Protection Fund to strengthen organizations that respond to ICE accountability and protect immigrant families. When we come back, one recipient of that fund explains how they're using the grant money.
And we've been able to use the support, and we plan to continue using the support to be able to pay a portion of a staff attorney's salary.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
August is Make-A-Will Month, a meaningful time to think about the legacy you'd like to leave behind. Texas Public Radio shares the stories of our community, our challenges, our triumphs, and the issues that shape our lives. By including TPR in your will or estate plans, you can help preserve those stories and ensure trusted local journalism continues to serve future generations. Learn more about creating a lasting impact at tpr.org/legacy.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The Latino Community Foundation has supported Latino-owned and Latino-serving organizations for three decades. It's based in California and is expanding its reach to serve the greater southwestern U.S. The LCF launched its Community Protection Fund this year to support legal observers, advocacy organizations, and immigrant-serving nonprofits as they maneuver the ever-changing immigration enforcement landscape. Its second round of grantees included 10 groups from California, Arizona, and Texas. One of the recipients is Estrella del Paso, an El Paso-based group that just this month had to shut down its legal services program for unaccompanied migrant children when the Trump administration allowed a contract with legal service providers to end. That battle is still being played out in courts. The other grant recipient from Texas is the Las Americas Immigrant Advocacy Center, an El Paso-based nonprofit that provides free and low-cost legal services to immigrants and refugees in the region. Las Americas has had its own legal battles with the government. It took the Biden administration to court for limiting asylum at the border and has fought Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton for seeking information and communications related to a migrant sponsorship program that allowed thousands of people to legally migrate to the U.S. each month. Las Americas Executive Director Marisa Limon Garza joins Latino Community Foundation CEO Julian Castro in today's conversation. Limon Garza says the Latino Community Foundation grant will further their efforts to provide legal services to immigrants.
We're incredibly grateful for the support of the foundation to be able to continue the work that we do. It's a moment that is pivotal for our country and for our region. And we've been able to use the support, and we plan to continue using the support to be able to pay a portion of a staff attorney's salary and continuing to do the work in our community-based program that helps people before they are entered into any kind of situation, hopefully, with other enforcement that could lead to detention. It's our effort to make sure that people are protected and have the resources that they need before they go into any of those systems and try to make sure that they have that resource available to them when it's most important and when it's most dire.
Well, Marisa, tell us a little bit more about the importance, really, of having that legal representation, because, you know, we've been hearing since the start of this current administration that there are a lot of immigrant attorneys that are unable to meet with their clients who are oftentimes already in detention on the way to be deported. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how Las Americas and the attorneys there help the populations that you're serving?
Yeah, so we have been seeing people all across the country being shuffled around. And ultimately, you know, we're seeing a lot of people in our region, particularly in one of the largest detention facilities, which is Camp Beast Montana here at Fort Bliss, which can house up to 5,000 people. And so for us, it's really been a matter of getting into the space and trying to offer an intake, a consultation with people. The reality is that it's incredibly difficult for people to get out of detention right now. And so we have been able to file habeas petitions for a few different individuals. We've had some luck with that. We're also pursuing, now that we have access to bond again, we're able to pursue that as an option for people. And so our team is really looking at any possible way to make sure that the people in our region and those that end up here try to have a shot at some kind of due process and that they're actually able to meet the goal that they're trying to have. And it's incredibly daunting. It's incredibly challenging, but it's something that our team continues to persist in doing and wants to continue to support our community in.
You know, we hear that, you know, immigration orders change essentially from administration to administration. Have you noticed that the services that you offer also kind of veer radically from administration to administration? Because it seems like it doesn't really matter who is the president. The fact that there really is no immigration law to kind of have these guidelines, I think that leaves a lot of nonprofits such as yourself sort of in a vacuum without really having a very solid guideline on which way to go. So I'm wondering, you know, how you've seen your mission there at Las Americas sort of changing from year to year or from administration to administration.
Sure. So I've been with the organization going on 4 years, and it's a constant churn of change. And so for our team, one of the most important things is really relationship and community with other practitioners. and really understanding what's going on in different areas and how to actually apply that information to their individual caseload. And so that's a resource that we definitely rely on. You know, the cruelty has really been the point for several different administrations, and it's a deterrence tactic that many have used. And we've seen it in a variety of different perspectives. Unfortunately, right now, this is probably the most severe example of where we are in our country as it comes to that, enduring the changing policies and making sure that we're still thinking carefully about what's going on. But our team does rely on the support of others, a cohort of people that are around in the community, a variety of listservs and other opportunities to stay close to what's going on and trying to really make the best difference that we can using those limited resources. But it is something that's a constant need, and it's the reality that our organization and many others are facing right now. And it's something that we're doing our best to try to manage and uphold.
So Julian, I was wondering, how difficult was it for you to be able to narrow down the number of nonprofits who you were able to give this grant, because Las Américas is just one of so many nonprofits who are serving immigrant communities, particularly along here in the Southwest. How difficult was it for your organization to be able to sort of narrow down that list of recipients?
I mean, there's so much more need than there are resources, especially for an organization like the Latino Community Foundation. And we're not one of the bigger foundations in the country. And there are a number of foundations, you know, philanthropic organizations that are funding very good work related to serving immigrants. But what we see is there are a lot of gaps, geographic gaps, especially oftentimes in rural areas. And then just different gaps in the system. In some places, it might be with legal representation. In other places, it might be with other types of direct services or sometimes in advocacy. So one of the things that we're intent on is encouraging other philanthropic organizations to double down on their commitment if they already are making a commitment during this time. And for those who haven't made it a priority to support the kind of work that Las Américas and others are doing to serve immigrants during this emergency, this five-alarm fire, we encourage them to do that.
One of the other grant recipients in El Paso, they were forced to shut down an unaccompanied children's legal fund. The Trump administration did not renew the contract. So a lot of times you'll see these decisions being made that one day you are doing your mission as a nonprofit, and then the next day you find yourself, you know, on a tightrope over an abyss, afraid to take that next step. So, Julian, how is the Latino Community Foundation able to maybe respond to these type of emergencies that a lot of these nonprofits may face when, again, when there's a change that just happens so suddenly?
Well, what we've done is made it our priority during this time of need by launching the Community Protection Fund and dedicating more of our resources toward organizations that are doing this very needed type of work right now, like Las Américas and Estrella del Paso, and others in California, in Minnesota, in Nevada, and soon in other places as well. The fact that these organizations had the rug pulled out from under them, like Estrella del Paso, by the federal government not living up to its contractual obligations, basically, it's another marker of the cruelty. And I think ultimately, this is part of what we have to reform to create more justice in the system as a whole.
Julian, do you think that there is ever going to be reform? Because it just seems like, you know, everybody says that immigration reform is best done in Congress, but it seems like it's always going to hit a stalemate and it will only come down through executive order. So do you have kind of a realistic view of of what necessarily has to be done in order to really create a positive path forward?
You know, unfortunately, sometimes it takes people's consciousness being raised and their eyes being opened to the cruelty in the system and to just how malfunctional it is. We're all witnessing that right now. You know, the last comprehensive immigration work or legislation that was done was 40 years ago in 1986. And then there have been attempts since then. The last time that it got close was 2013. And now there's a lot of disagreement on what that should look like. And there's no question that it's going to involve compromise. But I'm one who holds out hope, at least, that yes, we are in the coming years going to get to a better place and get to some sort of reform. I think at this point, the more likely path is that it's going to be done in a piecemeal way, that you're not going to get this grand compromise, that there are elements of reform that are going to happen. And as they do that, my hope is that they keep the humanity of the people always at heart. And that's exactly, you know, what's been trampled on by the Trump administration. Yeah, so I hold out hope, but I'm also not naive to think that that's just going to happen tomorrow or next year.
And it's not necessarily just a federal problem to solve as well. We're also seeing, you know, the state start to take on its own immigration role, particularly here in Texas. So when you kind of have the federal and the state sort of working hand in hand to ramp up immigration enforcement and to force certain law enforcement to work hand in hand with immigration enforcement, it's got to be an uphill climb. And to be able to hold on to that hope, I think, is what sustains a lot of these nonprofits who are doing this very difficult work.
Yeah, well, and one of the things that people are seeing right now is what happens when we act as a society, as a government, this cruelly toward little children and toward families. And that's turned a lot of people off. That's, I believe, going to have a consequence in these November elections. And that may make it more possible federally to see changes. And even in Texas, it wouldn't surprise me over the coming years if you start to see a pulling back from both the cruelty and the rhetoric and even the outlay of some of these dollars coming from the Texas legislature. I know that a lot of people will think that that's optimistic, and you know, everybody that's been watching and will say, you know, what in the world are you talking about? But that's actually the world that I see, because this administration has turned a lot of people off with its cruelty.
Well, I think, Marisa, I'm curious as to what keeps your hope up. How do you manage to go to work every day and do what you do, knowing that there are obstacles being placed in front of groups such as your own to even stay afloat? What do you find within yourself to keep going?
Yeah, I think, you know, at this time, it's almost like no queda de otra. There's not another option right now for us in the space. And I think for me, it's really tapping into the realities that people are facing. I know that our team, we count our victories in, they're like micro victories. It's not necessarily in the past where you would necessarily take a full case on and all the way from start to finish, and it'd be a complete victory, as you might think. And so instead, it's like, how can we support people at different levels of their case to make sure that they have some little bit of protection? And so holding on to those ideas and the team that I work with every day, exemplary at what they do. And so just making sure to continue to support them and guide them through these processes is incredibly important. For me, it's the reality that if it's not us, then whom would it be? And we need to persist in supporting people in these times of great need.
Well, Julian Castro, Marisa Limón Garza, thank you so much for joining us on Fronteras today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Julian Castro is CEO of the Latino Community Foundation. He's a former San Antonio mayor, former housing secretary under President Obama, and a former Democratic presidential candidate. We also spoke with Marisa Limon Garza, executive director of the Las Americas Immigrant Advocacy Center. Las Americas was one of 10 recipients of the Latino Community Foundation's Community Protection Fund to respond to the federal government's immigration enforcement crackdown. Fronteras editors are Dan Katz and Yvette Benavides. The program is produced by Marian Navarro and Norma Martinez. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.